The Dr. Tracy Show, your integrated health expert. Here to help when you log on to peaksofhealth.com. Peaksofhealth.com.
Good afternoon. Hope you're all having a great weekend and hope you had a great week. Thanks for joining us again on another great show, the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson here with Dr. Tracy. Dr. Tracy, how you doing?
We're doing great. It's been a great week.
Good. Good weeks are always what we want. And when you come here, you know, with Dr. Tracy, you're not just going to get information. You're going to get ways to help you better yourself. She's not going to sell you anything. We're just going to give you information and she's going to teach you how to make your life better. You can always improve your life. Don't sit back. If you're feeling bad, if your day is not great because you can feel that something's not right, maybe you're lethargic, you're tired, something's wrong, there is a solution. If there's a problem, there's always a solution. That's why Dr. Tracy's here. And if you want to jump aboard, please check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. I'm checking it out right now. There's always some great stuff on there. If you want to give them a call, 727-826-0838. Some of the areas Dr. Tracy treats: hormone therapy, thyroid, diabetes, weight loss, chronic fatigue. If you're feeling any of that, or if you maybe something's wrong and that potentially could be the solution, make sure to check out the website. Dr. Tracy, today we're going to talk about fatty acids and fish oil. There's a lot of hype around fish oil. Start with fish oil. What's all the hype about?
Well, the thing with, you know, fish oil, they keep on asking, you know, is it beneficial, is it not? And, you know, when we look at these fatty acids, omega-3s, omega-6s, you know, omega-9s, they're called essential fatty acids for a reason. You know, they're essential to our, you know, well-being. They're essential
to... Why, though? Why would they be essential?
Well, actually, all the cell layers, you know, all of our cells in our body have this outer layer called a membrane. And all of our membranes are made out of fatty acids. You know, so if we don't have good, healthy fatty acid in our body, those cell membranes don't work. So things don't move in and out of your cells. So you can't nourish your cells properly, you know, so or you have leaky membranes, which don't work.
So what type of things like these fish oils, what could you take? You mentioned omega. What other types of things can you take to help this?
Well, you can also, you know, eat foods that are high in omega-3s. You know, we kind of mistake, you know, the fact that we always have to take supplements. You know, we have omega-3s in our diet. We have omega-6s in our diet. The problem with the American diet is it's very high in omega-6 and very low in omega-3. And you need a proper ratio. And when you're high in omega-6, they're very inflammatory. So they inflame your system in a lot of ways. And so they increase, you know, your risk of heart disease. They increase your risk of Alzheimer's. They increase your risk of, you know, joint and bone pain, you know, so you have a lot of side effects of that. And so if we actually supplement with the omega-3s to kind of rebalance that, then we don't have as much of a problem.
When's it time to start using these supplements, fatty acids, stuff like that?
Well, actually, we use it at birth. If you think about it, we give pregnant women fish oil for a reason, because it helps brain growth. And so the infant needs that DHA of fish oil for proper brain health. You know, we do supplement it in, you know, formulas. If you look in formulas for the babies, DHA is in our formulas because it's that important to their brain growth. You know, it's shown to significantly increase the IQ of babies and infants if given DHA during that development period. So from infancy on to the end of life,
okay,
it's actually necessary.
So when you're, even if nothing's wrong, you can take your omegas and that can help strengthen what?
It can help strengthen everything. You know, omega-3s are definitely important for brain function. They're definitely important for the inflammatory system. They help reduce cardiovascular disease. They help affect your cholesterol and triglyceride levels. So you take omega-3s for cholesterol and triglyceride. We also have omega-6. Certain omega-6s are really healthy for you, like GLA or gamma-linolenic acid. That's a one, real hard one even for me to pronounce sometimes.
So you can take them all. You can take the 3, the 6, and the 7?
3, 6, 7, 9. 9 is well known to be in olive oil. You know, coconut oil is a medium chain triglyceride, which is also a healthy fatty acid. So there's a lot of different ways you can take them. 6, I don't give as much as because, again, that's more inflammatory. So I'll give the very specific part of omega-6. Most people will know it as, you know, evening primrose oil or borage oil. So that's a really healthy inflammatory. And that's really good for your asthmatic. It's really good for your, you know, patient with rheumatoid arthritis.
Is there such thing as overdoing it, taking too much?
There's always such thing as taking too much. Everything is in moderation.
Yes.
But there were some studies on really high dosing of omega-3s, you know, for certain conditions. You know, they did a study at Harvard for pain control. And they did show that some of the patients would get off their methadone and their pain medications at much higher doses because, it works as that high anti-inflammatory. So the higher you go, the different, you know, effect you get.
This is the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy today talking about fatty acids, fish oil right now, omega-3s, 6, 7s, different things you can take. If you want to check out their website, peaksofhealth.com, there's always some great information. Now, Dr. Tracy, why are some of the fatty acids considered essential?
Well, because our bodies actually don't make them. We have to ingest them. So they come from our diet. And again, that's one of the reasons why we usually have this disproportionate level of omega-6. Because, you know, the fried foods, the fatty foods, most of our meats are high in omega-6. However, if the meats are a little bit different, like organic meats are high in omega-3s. Lamb is high in omega-3s that we've mentioned in previous shows. So again, it depends on which meat we're using. You know, for an example, you know, basic eggs, you know, that the chickens are fed, corn and everything. Those eggs are a 20-to-1 ratio, omega-6 to omega-3. But if you change that egg to an organic egg, that's a 2-to-1 ratio.
All right, you got me thinking. You're talking eggs here. Breakfast. You wake up. What's a solid breakfast? Maybe not your breakfast, maybe not my breakfast, but a solid breakfast is somebody wants to get up and get certain omegas that they need and the certain vitamins they need. What's a good breakfast?
Well, again, a couple things that really have good omega-3s. You're going to have, you know, you can have some oatmeal, you know, or, you know, I actually like the steel-cut oatmeal since it's a little bit less glycemic. But with walnuts on it, walnuts are high in omega-3s. You can also do eggs. You know, again, if you're using an organic egg, you have a high omega-3 ratio in there. You know, so that goes ahead and gives you good omega-3s. You know, certain things, you know, organic turkey or chicken sausage, even organic regular sausage would have higher omega-3s.
And do like a combo of them all and you get them all in.
Yeah. I mean, there's times when I'll do, you know, a couple eggs, pieces, you know, chicken sausage, a little bit of oatmeal on the side.
All right, what else? What else do you recommend when we're talking about omegas 3, 6, and 7? How do we go out there? Like, what's, if we're out there and we want to get omega, what should we do?
Well, again, most of the time you're going to go ahead and get, you know, take some supplement of fish oil because most of the time we don't get enough in our fish, you know, in our diet. And if you're going to do that, you got to make sure you take the right fish oil. It is so important because there's so many of them over the counter. Most of the ones that you get in the grocery store or Sam's Club or, you know, any of these, you know, health food stores that you go to, they are not really high grade. So there's huge grades of fish oil. There's actually a place called IFOS, which is the International Fish Oil Scale Association, and that grades these fish oils. And so they can be, you know, by the time you get to pharmaceutical grade, you have even grade 1 through 5. We only use grade 5 in our office because, again, that depends on how much impurities is in that. So you can get a lot of mercury in your fish oil. You can get a lot of, you know, contaminants in that fish oil that you don't want. So when you're taking higher doses, you can end up with a lot of other contaminants.
Some more of the benefits of fish oil. What are they?
Oh, my God. It's just, you know, the insulin regulation. You know, all of our diabetics are on fish oil. The cognitive, you know, it's one of the things that we use for our Alzheimer's patients. Any of our rheumatoid arthritis patients or autoimmune patients, the decrease in atherosclerosis that can occur from omega-3s. You know, and then when you're talking about omega-7s and you add that anti-inflammatory effect to it, omega-7s are huge in lowering body inflammation and controlling sugar and regulation.
And if you're dealing with any of these issues that Dr. Tracy was just talking about and you're not using fish oil, clearly you should be.
That's one of the key things that almost every single one of our patients is put on. You know, we have a couple key ingredients that every single patient needs to be on, and omega-3s is one of them, or some form of omega-7, depending on any other conditions they may have.
What else? When we're talking about fatty acids, why is it important to make sure that we're not overdoing it, but we're getting the proper amount that we need?
Well, again, you know, you have to have a balance of inflammation and anti-inflammatory because inflammation is really important for your immune system. When you get injured or something attacks you, the first response is inflammation. So if you overdo the anti-inflammatories, then what's going to happen is you're going to lose those responses. So again, it's that balance in your body. And then again, if your body is highly inflamed and that response is in the high key and it won't go down, that's where you need that anti-inflammatory. So it's that significant balance between the two. And you can actually measure. We can measure by blood the omega-3s, the omega, you know, 6s, the omega-7s, the omega-9s. So
go
we can actually see that.
Go through that process. If somebody was to come to Peaks of Health, come to see you, how do you go through the balancing?
Well, most of the time we can actually see inflammatory markers. We measure them initially. And if there are markers like CRP, C-reactive protein, is an inflammatory marker in the body. And so if that's elevated, then we know that person has a lot of inflammation. So we know automatically we have to add in an omega-3 or an omega-7 for anti-inflammatory. Omega-7 is really good, and studies have proven that this is highly effective against lowering that inflammation. If somebody is the other way and we need to know, we can actually measure their actual level and see where they're at to see if they actually need to rebalance, if they're having symptoms, if they're having depression, if they're having, you know, body aches and joint pains. If they're having some of these symptoms, then we can actually go measure.
And things we've talked about in the past, it seems like the progression, the treatment is, takes a while. For this, it seems like you can sort of find that balancing act quickly and find the solution. Is that true?
Well, most of the patients, you know, and studies show within 30 to 60 days, their inflammation can come down by 50% when we're actually putting proper anti-inflammatories in the body. So it's amazing how much we can change that system and increase, you know, we can get patients' numbers looking pretty good within 3 to 6 months. It may take us a little bit longer to change the actual underlying problem, but we can actually get those markers much better quicker.
The conversation today is fatty acids, and you're on the Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. And if you want to visit their website, peaksofhealth.com, check it out. All this great stuff that we're talking about, you can find out more information on their website. If you want to give them a call, 727-826-0838. They'd be more than happy to talk to you. She treats hormone therapy, diabetes, weight loss, chronic fatigue, autoimmune diseases. Try to get that right. Once again, check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. When we come back, we're going to be talking with the spokesperson for Metagenics, Adam Banning. We're going to continue the conversation about fatty acids next. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Very special guest joining us right now, spokesperson for Metagenics, Adam Banning. He served as a senior functional medicine consultant with Metagenics for the last 23 years, and the conversation, once again, is about fatty acids. Before we get into that conversation, Adam, tell us a little bit about Metagenics.
Thank you so much, first of all, for having me on the show, Dr. Tracy and Aaron. Metagenics does the most amount of clinical research published in peer-reviewed journal out of all of the supplement companies currently in the field worldwide right now. We actually do more clinical research. That means quality research showing that the products work and they're safe. We do more clinical research that's published in those medical journals than our top 10 competitors combined. So you're really sure that you're not only getting the safety but the outcome. And really, very interestingly, getting the types of raw materials in our supplements, which are the ones that are studied. Most people don't understand that if you buy a supplement, let's say St. John's wort, that there's 7 different grades of St. John's wort which are available from raw material suppliers. They sell the raw materials to the manufacturers, and they put them in bottles for you. And you can call it St. John's wort on any one of those different grades. But the top 2 grades, the most expensive grades of that raw material, are the ones that have the studies. At Metagenics, we always use the versions that have studies. So we're talking about high-quality research, high-quality outcomes, and safety as well.
Yeah, Adam, I was also talking right beforehand, you know, that it makes a big difference when we're talking about, you know, fatty acids, omega-3s, omega-6s, omega-7s, the quality, and that, you know, just getting a pharmaceutical grade might not, you know, show that quality. Can you kind of explain how that process goes, you know, when we're talking about fatty acids, how important it is to get a high grade quality to get the effectiveness we want?
Well, it's very, very important. As we know, within our world today, our oceans have seen a lot of havoc as it relates to pollution. And those pollutants will be things like dioxins. Those pollutants will be things like heavy metals. And as of late, there's actually been a concern about radiation with the events that had happened in Fukushima in Japan. All of these different types of assessments are very, very important to put upon a supplement. But those assessments are quite expensive on the part of the actual manufacturer. The average company out there in the field of supplements makes between 20 and 40%, believe it or not, 20 and 40% profitability after they pay everybody on their supplements. That's extremely high. It is a record in any industry when it comes to profitability, except for the petroleum industry. So basically, they're not putting research and quality control back in, most of them. Our company has about 7.3% profitability because we do the most in regards to assessments and original clinical research published in these peer-reviewed journals. So really doing the work that's necessary to be able to make sure that our sources are the cleanest sources available on this planet is our due diligence that we pledge, and we're willing to back it up with our documentation.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with the Metagenics spokesperson, Adam Banning. Now, where are they manufactured? Where's your fish oil source from?
Our fish oil, like all fish oils, are manufactured in the Norwegian area. Okay, so we have Norway manufacturing, but our sourcing, like all fish oils, and most people don't understand that because there's companies out there that would allude to the fact that they get them from Norway or from northern sources. All of the sources are from the actual west coast of South America. So there are certain forms of fish which tend to have more heavy metals, some much less heavy metals, but all of them do come from that area. But we utilize the actual processing, which allows us to be able to have these cleanest sources from the Norway area.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we said was very important. And we were talking about, you know, the actual fatty acids and exactly how important they are to the body, you know. And one of the things that, you know, makes some of the things that we found unique is the combinations of fatty acids. Can we talk about, you know, the importance of omega-3s, omega-6s, and omega-7s?
Most definitely. When we really take a look at all of these different omegas, we may find ourselves, because the research is so profound, you know, there's over 20,000 published studies on omega-3 fatty acids in human health. It's more studies on one subject than aspirin or statin drugs or whatever else. This is the most studied substance in human health. So omega-3s are very important. And the reason why they're important, yes, they can help cardiovascular health. Yes, they can help blood sugar health. They can help ocular health. They can help you age slower. They can help many different factors in the body. But the reason why, and this is really simple, I had this explained to me by a Harvard professor who said, that's why you should be interested in. And here's the reason. Is that every single cell in your body is made up of cells, right? Every cell has a cell membrane, okay? And that's the outer wall of the cell. And in a healthy cell membrane that allows nutrients to get in the cell to feed it, allows good messages to get into the cell and make sure the cell does what it's supposed to do, and allows toxins to get out of the cell, in a good healthy cell membrane are these good healthy omega fatty acids. Lots of threes are in that area. Lots, not as much, of the sixes are in that area. So you want to be able to make sure that that layer has these good fats in it to allow you to be able to get good foods into the cells, to feed yourself, good messages into all of your cells, and allow you to be able to let excrement or excretion out of the cells to sort of take the garbage out. So I thought that was a great explanation. Yes, we know that it can do amazing things, like omega-3s have been shown to be extremely helpful in everything from depression to cardiovascular disease, for dealing with such things as inflammatory disorders and dealing with such things as individuals who have problems with blood sugar, like diabetics or metabolic syndrome patients. So those are the omega-3s, and I think that explanation is a really good one for the folks out there because, listen, unless you have good omega-3s, you don't have nutrients getting into your cells, you don't have toxins getting out of your cells, and you don't have good messaging getting into your cells to make sure they do what they're supposed to within the course of your day. That's the omega-3s. The omega-6s are truly amazing. I mean, numerous studies have been done in regards to individuals who are suffering from things like PMS. Women between the ages of 18 and 48 right now, approximately 34% of all women in the latest United States studies, had shown to have PMS. And many of these signs of PMS can be helped with these omega-6s, such things as evening primrose or borage oil. They can be really great. Borage oil, which is another omega-6, is really great as it relates to nerve conductivity. And that really is very, very helpful for people with neuralgias, people who have tingling in their feet and their hands, or have shooting pain down from their buttocks area down their leg. Those types of radiculopathy.
That is such great information. I wanted to really also really concentrate on those omega-7s because that was, you know, one of the things that I think sets Metagenics apart.
I'm so glad that you're one of those top functional medicine doctors who's talking about this cutting-edge research on omega-7s. The omega-7 research is profound when it comes to inflammation. But by being profound in the way it lowers inflammation as measured by something called HSCRP, it's a C-reactive protein, it also has been shown to be amazing at lowering triglycerides, lowering LDL, the bad cholesterol, and raising HDL, which is really hard to do. I mean, many people find themselves really just hunkering down and exercising a lot to get it done. So it requires a lot of sweat a lot of times to raise HDLs. This will raise your HDL, that preventive, beautiful, good cholesterol. And on top of that, the other byproducts of this whole thing is that they're starting to find out that it does have a weight loss effect as well.
There's so many layers to this conversation, and we could go on for a while. Adam Banning, spokesperson for Metagenics, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about fatty acids.
No problem whatsoever. Thank you for having me.
This is the Dr. Tracy Show. Next, we're going to be talking about fat on the Dr. Tracy Show. First, you can check out peaksofhealth.com. But the big question next, does fat make us fat? Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Hope you're all having a fantastic afternoon and hope you had a great week as well. I know Dr. Tracy did. I did as well. Please check out the website, peaksofhealth.com. Give them a call, 727-826-0838. Once again, just in case you missed it, 727-826-0838. The conversation today is about fatty acids. And this next segment is something that I'm very interested in. I'm sure everyone is as well. Does fat make you fat? And it's funny to say it, but it's an important conversation to have because I joke about it. We've joked about it before. I eat cheeseburgers all the time. Look at me. I'm not overweight, but by what I eat, by my diet, I should be obese. Why aren't I obese yet, Dr. Tracy?
The one thing we have about fat is fat in itself does not make you fat. What makes you fat is sugar and insulin. So in order for fat to be stored, you have to open up the fat cells, and insulin is what opens them up. So say if somebody has higher insulin levels, you know, and that comes from becoming resistant to the insulin. So again, you have to have that predisposition to be diabetic and then eat the high sugar with your fat. So if you're not eating, you know, so if you eat plain fat, say an avocado, that is not going to be stored as fat. You know, if you're eating healthy fats, especially, it's not going to be stored as fat. But if you're eating, say, cake and ice cream, that's a lot of fat with a lot of sugar.
But if you're not gaining weight and you are eating the cake and ice cream, would you be more exposed in the future to diabetes or less exposed? Like,
well, it kind of depends on the person. Again, there are people who, you know, go through their entire teens and 20s with a great metabolism, and then something somehow shifts it,
yeah,
you know, and then they start gaining weight. It may be the fact that they're very active and they're burning that sugar off. You know, people who are working out all the time or active or exercising have a tendency to really burn that fat off.
Or a yo-yo diet.
Or yo-yo dieting actually is another thing. Yo-yo dieting actually predisposes you to gaining weight. And the reason for it is because you're constantly turning on and turning off your metabolism. And when you do that, you affect your thyroid long term and you become hypothyroid. So, you know, that will actually, you know, yo-yo dieting is one of the things that actually leads you to become overweight or obese.
All right. So when we're talking about good fats and bad fats, how do we limit the bad fats?
Well, again, you're going to want to limit the trans fats, which are your fried foods. You know, they are the, you know, the what they call hydrogenated oils. You know, so you're going to really want to look at the labels and not eat that stuff. That one is completely usually stored as fat because it inflames the system.
But it's so tasty.
It is tasty. But you know what? You can use olive oils and coconut oils, which they used to use before. You can use real butter. I mean, butter, people like real butter on their food.
All right, good.
That is not a trans fat.
Let's talk about substitutes. Would that be like a fried substitute? What would that be? Butter, coconut oil?
Coconut oil, olive oil. Now, olive oil you don't want to really fry in because olive oil has, you know, a lower what we call temperature point. So it turns into a bad fat at a high temperature. So, but coconut oil is a really decent one to actually, you know, not that I'm an advocate for fried foods, but if you're going to fry your food, coconut oil is a better choice.
All right. So easier said than done. Stay away from fried foods. If you want to allow yourself to have a tasty fried treat once in a while, how often should it be? What should you limit yourself to?
I would limit it to no more than every couple of weeks. Every couple of weeks, you know.
Oh, boy.
But again, you can actually have a lot of grilled food. You can have a lot of, I like a lot of, you know, what they call sautéed. We do a lot of, you know, broiling of the food. So it's a lot, you know, you can do with your food other than turning around and just frying it.
What's the best way? What's the best alternative? Like you said, grill, sauté. Aside from frying it, what's the most healthy alternative?
Well, your healthy alternative is going to be steaming most of the time. But again,
which is never the sexiest thing to do.
No. But if you steam a little bit of butter on it, it's not so bad. You know, and again, I'm not fearful of fats. I'm just fearful of absorbing that fat. So again, I make sure that if I'm going to eat that higher fat, I try not to eat it with a lot of sugar and a lot of sweets at the same time.
All right. So let's say you do get out of hand a little bit. You have more fats than you should during a meal. Let's talk about exercise. maybe some people say, well, I'm going to go run right away to burn off the fats. What's the proper time to exercise during the day, maybe after a meal that you allowed yourself to have these treats?
Well, again, the best time to exercise obviously is in the morning, but if you're going to do it, at least wait 20 to 30 minutes for you to digest your food a little bit. You don't want to turn around and run on a full stomach. You're going to get sick.
Yep.
And tear up your stomach lining. You know, and then again, if you want to burn fat off fast, interval training. You don't have to go run 5 miles. You know, you just do 20-minute intervals and it continues that fat burning process for the next 24 hours as opposed to just for a half an hour after you're finished.
Now, is that good for you, a kind of workout like that where, like you said, intervals? Maybe go run a mile or not even a mile, a half a mile. Take it easy. Go home. Do some work, whatever it be, office work that you have to do for the next day. And then go out again. Do that same routine a mm-hmm. couple hours later, 20 minutes of running.
Well, yeah, if you want to lean out, think about it. You know, and this is an analogy I use for a lot of my patients. Look at the sprinter who runs short stints frequently versus the long distance runner. The sprinter is bulked up, muscled up, and really usually has a decent physique. The long distance runner is usually broken down, emaciated, has no muscle tone at all. That's because they burn through their muscle at the same time because they overdo it. You know, so if you want that, you know, lean look physique without, you know, with nice muscles, interval training is going to get it better for you.
Okay, now talking about muscles, let's say we're middle-aged and we're trying to build up that mass. We want to, we want to stay lean, but we also want to look like we built up that mass. What's the best fats to go about doing that?
Well, again, you're going to want your omega-3s, your omega-7s. They're going to control your sugar. They're going to control your inflammation, you know, and you definitely want to eat more things like avocado, coconut, you know, medium chain triglycerides are really good healthy fats to get into the body. You know, you can eat grass-fed beefs. Lamb is almost all omega-3s. You know, you can a lot of eggs. Eggs are actually pretty good for you. You know, eggs got a really bad rap for cholesterol, but that's not actually the case.
What about an avocado? You mentioned the avocado. Do you eat a whole avocado or use it maybe as a side dish? You said lamb. Have some avocado.
Exactly. You can do both. You can put avocados in your smoothies and they really, you know, instead of cream and things like that, they really thicken your smoothie up. It's a great thickening agent.
You have a good recipe for an avocado smoothie?
Yeah, actually, we have a
complete
book of them.
Let us in, Dr. Tracy. Let us in on one.
Actually, you know, I use spinach, kale, avocado, and then I put a couple fruits in there. You know, I'll put some berries in there. I'll put a little bit of pineapple in there for the bromelain because the pineapple helps your digestion. You know, so we add things to it. I usually always do 3 vegetables to 1 fruit and 1 fat.
Maybe I can convince Dr. Tracy to put one of those on the website. You should check out the website, though. There's some great information on anything we've been talking about. Peaksofhealth.com. Check out their website. Give them a call, 727-826-0838. We're talking, this is the Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy, today talking about fats and what makes you fat and alternatives. Some fats are good, some are bad. We talked about the bad fats. Let's talk about the good fats.
Well, again, you're going to have a lot of really good fat in your diet. Walnuts, macadamia nuts are actually high in omega-7s. You know, the only thing you have to be careful about is how many of them you eat. Because, you know, when we talk about omega-7s, there's a very specific omega-7, you know, version of it that's an anti-inflammatory. It's very difficult to pronounce for me anyways. Palmitoic acid. There's also one called palmate acid, and that is highly inflammatory. So you get both of them in macadamia. And so, again, taking in just a few of the nuts a day really help. Taking in a whole jar of them, not so much.
Yes. Like we always say, everything in moderation. What about supplements? We're talking about foods and certain other things that can help get these omegas. What about supplements?
We use a lot of fatty acids in our actual programs. We have our own labeled fish oil, so we have our own omega-3. We use a lot of a combination of omega-3 and omega-7 in our diets. I use very little omega-6s in supplementation. And if I do, I use it in evening primrose oil. And again, the reason is because we want that good, healthy omega-6. We don't want the rest of the inflammatory omega-6s. But almost every single one of our patients is on some form of omega-3s or omega-7s.
Now, at what point do we need to be concerned with cholesterol levels? A couple weeks ago, we talked with Dr. Smith about the brain needing fat and that cholesterol isn't necessarily bad. At what point should we be concerned?
Well, I get concerned if my cholesterol levels drop below 140 on my patients, because at that level, then they're not making hormones, especially the one hormone we talked about called pregnenolone. which is very, very important for brain function.
And we've talked about that before.
Yes, exactly. And then the high levels, you know, it kind of depends. When I get patients, you know, with high levels of cholesterol, we always do what we call VAP testing on them, which is the, again, the next level of cholesterol testing. It tests the actual size of the molecules. It tells me what kind of bad cholesterol, what kind of good cholesterol they're making, and is this a dangerous cholesterol for them? So if they're just making that cholesterol, because think about it, as we age, we're going to make more cholesterol because our hormones decline. And if you make your hormones out of cholesterol, your body's going to make more cholesterol to make more hormone. That's a natural progression. So if somebody has elevated cholesterol just because they're low in hormones, then that cholesterol is probably not harming them.
How do you test the cholesterol level?
It's a blood test that we send to a specialty laboratory, you know, and then they break it down for us. So we can actually see all the different particle sizes of their fat.
So not something that you could do at home?
No, not something you can do at home. But again, you know, your primary care doctor can also do this. This test is available to everybody. They can also test fatty acids. So we can actually do fatty acid testing profiles on our patients. We can test the omega-3s. We can test the omega-6s. We can test the omega-7s and 9s. So we can actually see exactly what their fatty acid profile is and if they're are in real need of higher levels of omega-3s.
And go over some other ways of bad cholesterol. If it's too high, how do you attack it?
Well, again, if somebody has, you know, a really high LDL, and what we're looking for is the really tiny, small LDL. It's called LPA. And that is the one that can get into an artery. So I call it big, fluffy LDL versus baseballs, baseballs and beach balls. So if you have a whole bunch of beach balls, they can't hurt you when they hit you. But the baseballs hurt. So the LPA are baseballs.
It's a fantastic analogy. Don't want to get hit by baseballs.
Exactly. So if you have a bunch of baseballs, then we're going to do things to lower it. Interestingly enough, statins do not lower LPA. This is a genetic predisposition. And we use niacin. Hormones are one that will lower it, balancing the hormones out. But niacin is, you know, one of the key ones to actually lowering that. If somebody has oxidized LDL, because again, what that means is oxidation is kind of like rusting of your car. So that's internal rusting. So if that's happening to your cholesterol, that is when you actually plaque out your cholesterol, meaning causing blockages in your arteries. So without oxidized LDL, it can't layer down. So we look for that oxidation. If that's happening, then we'll use things to lower the oxidation in the body. You know, high insulin level is the number one thing that causes oxidized LDL. So again, that's why diabetics have such a high risk for heart disease.
Talking about fats today and fatty acids on the Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Check out the website, peaksofhealth.com. Give them a call as well, 727-826-0838. They're not going to try to sell you anything. You're just going to get some great information. We're going to continue the conversation. And next, we're going to be talking about some noteworthy things going on in the news today. Next on the Dr. Tracy Show. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Having a great day today with Dr. Tracy. Aaron Jacobson, like I said, sitting in with Dr. Tracy, talking about fatty acids today, some great information. Also, along with fatty acids, you can get some information on anything, hormone therapy, thyroid, diabetes, weight loss, chronic fatigue, autoimmune diseases. Take a look at their website, peaksofhealth.com. That's peaksofhealth.com. Some great information there. Give them a call if you want to talk to Dr. Tracy, 727-826-0838. And we always want to talk about things that are going on in the news that are noteworthy. So we have our new and noteworthy news segment. And what's new and noteworthy today, Dr. Tracy?
Well, we scan a lot of the reports and things like that. And one of these studies that came up that really interested me was CNN came out with a study showing that, you know, fatty fish, nuts, vegetables, and all, we all knew were healthy in healthy good fats like omega-3s. But, you know, red meat, milk, things like that got a really bad rap about it. But in this particular study, what they showed was that when, you know, which I already kind of knew, but it's nice to see it in a study, that the organics are high in omega-3s. Well, they showed a 47% higher level of omega-3s in organic milk and organic grass-fed beef than they did in their counterparts.
So we're promoting organic here.
Well, I've always promoted organic, yeah. Mainly because, you know, I think one of the reasons we have such increased disease in the United States versus certain European countries is because of the chemicals and the hormones in our food. One of the reasons we have our younger children, you know, getting more adult quicker, or the young boys getting heavier quicker, is some of those hormones in the food, you know, and so we're kind of exposed to a lot of this stuff. And I think that's one of the things that's creating a lot of the problems we're having.
Well, you see these organic markets popping up. A lot of people think it's the product of the millennials, these organic foods everywhere, the organic shopping markets. And a lot of people think it's a scam. They think, okay, you're just going to upcharge. You go into an organic market. It's going to cost more than just going to a regular supermarket. But you're saying it actually can help you to get these organic foods.
Yeah, what was interesting, there was another study done earlier on young children. These were like 5, 6, 7 year olds. And what they did is they tested their urine when they were eating the regular foods, you know, from the markets. And they came up really high in certain, you know, pesticides and chemicals. Then they turned around and put them on an organic diet for a month. 4 weeks later, those chemicals were out of their body. You know, so it was showing that it was coming from the food. Then they put them back on a regular diet, and within 2 weeks, those levels were back up in their body. And these are chemicals and pesticides that are toxic to the system. So they were at toxicity levels just eating a regular diet.
What are these? I mean, you hear about that. You hear that the toxicity levels, even hard to say, even harder to kind of wrap my head around it. Why is it, you know, why is it different and why is it bad for you?
Well, again, when we put pesticides on foods, we put them on, you know, the food supply so that the insects don't get the foods, you know, and most of them are neurotoxins that actually kill the population. So think about it. That's the same stuff that's going on your food that you're ingesting. So, you know, and that's one of the reasons why certain chemicals were banned in terms of when we were spraying for mosquitoes. You know, that chemical was a neurotoxin and people were getting a lot of toxic effect from it. And they realized that that's not a good thing to give.
So I should throw my theory that once I throw it on the grill, I kill all those toxins. I should throw that right out the window?
No, what you're doing is killing bacteria.
Okay.
You know, so when we throw things, you know, when we heat meats up and we cook meats, we're thinking about killing salmonella and, you know, E. coli and bacteria. But in many cases, we don't get rid of the toxins. They're very difficult. They're embedded right into the food, you know, and especially thin skin foods, you know, things like tomatoes and peaches and apples are number one. I mean, they're really high in contents of arsenic and things like that because of what's sprayed on them.
So you would suggest as well, fruits as well, go in and get your fruits, your vegetables, anything basically that grows in the ground, go out and go to get the organic market version.
Well, again, there is, they actually, the Environmental Working Group puts out a list every year, and you can just go right and Google it. You can Google Clean 15, you know, because they call it the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So in there, they list the cleanest 15 foods that you don't have to bother buying organic, and then they list the Dirty Dozen. Those are the ones you always want to buy organic.
What, you know? Do you know a couple of the Dirty Dozen by heart right now that we could rally
up? Most of them by heart.
Of course.
You're going to have apples. You're going to have celery. You're going to have your berries, your strawberries.
Slow down. I want to make sure everyone gets it. Apples, celery,
berries, strawberries, blackberries, blueberries, tomatoes, onions. These are all some of the biggest ones.
That's the Dirty Dozen.
They're part of the Dirty Dozen.
All right, now let's go over the Clean 15?
The Clean 15.
I love the names.
Well, things with thick skins. So you're going to think bananas have thick skins. You know, you're going to think pineapples have thicker skin. Some of your melons are going to be on there.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Things where they can't really get into the fruit and we don't eat the skin on.
Okay, well, now what else? Do you personally, and I'm going to throw you out here, do you personally shop organic for everything?
For almost everything.
For almost everything.
There are some things I cannot get organic, you know, but even my spices are usually organic.
So, most of the stuff I heard, though, from the Clean 15 were vegetables or fruits. What about the meats? Do those come?
Well, the meats usually, when we're talking organic meats, it's because of what they feed the animals and what they turn around and inject into the animals. So, again, like our cows.
You hear grass-fed all the time.
Yeah, you hear grass-fed, you know. And one of the things with the cows is they actually usually inject them full of hormones, which stimulate them to have infections, and then they end up with antibiotics to stop the infections. And they do the hormones to get them to grow so that they can get, you know, bigger yield. So when you're talking about grass-fed, there's no hormones, there's no antibiotics used, and they're not fed corn or, you know, meals. They're actually fed off the grass, which is how they were meant to be. So it's a leaner meat. It's actually higher in omega-3s than omega-6s. So again, it changes that fat content.
To me, it seems like the Dirty Dozen we were talking about and the fruits, the vegetables, you're better off going organic with there. And the meats, it seems like it doesn't matter as much as the vegetables and fruits. Am I wrong there?
Well, and chicken especially, a lot of the chicken is automatically, you know, if you look at Tyson, they're hormone-free chicken. You know, they don't pump hormones into them or they're antibiotic-free, they'll say. The one thing with chicken is there can be a high arsenic content because of the feed that they're given. So, you know, I do go usually organic on my meats. But again, if I want a really good steak, I'd rather have a grass-fed steak every once in a while than a lot of cheap steak. It's, you know, it's better
steak. Is it tasty?
Yeah, it's very tasty.
I'm going to have to go out and get a grass-fed steak tonight.
And you can get this at, you know, your regular grocery stores. They have this at Publix. They have it at Super Target. You know, it's not like you have to go to a specialty store to get it.
It's my Sunday today, so I might go get a grass-fed steak tonight
because
we always grill on
Buffalo
Sunday.
Buffalo steak. Amazingly tasty.
And I'll go on. Believe me, I will tell everyone there that it's Dr. Tracy that sent me to get the organic steak. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Check out our website, peaksofhealth.com. Next week, we're going to be talking about diabetes, so you definitely want to join us next week. If you have diabetes or if you just want to know some general information, what causes it, who gets it, what can you do about it, you definitely want to join us next week on the Dr. Tracy Show. What a great show we had. Thank you again, Dr. Tracy.
You're welcome.
And until next week, this is the Dr. Tracy Show, and have a great week, everybody.